All right, Ed Fallon and Charles Goldman with you here, folks. Before we dig into the immigrant, quote, crime wave, which doesn't exist, I'm going to talk about Hegseth, the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth firing.
Secretary of War to you.
Sorry, excuse me, sir. Firing General Randy George. George is that's the Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army. And, you know, when the head of the Army is not, you know, compliant enough for you, but not radical enough, not extreme enough, what's going on here? This seems deeply concerning to me.
It's a number of things. One is, and the number of senior officers that have been asked to retire or just forced out,
yeah,
is about 20 in the first 9 months. And that's an abnormally high number. And, of course, remember, he started with the chief of staff,
yeah,
you know, the Air Force,
right,
chief of staff. Well, he was the overall chief of staff of the Joint Chiefs, but, you know, from the Air Force. And we know that he was, of course, asked to leave because he was African-American.
that wasn't the stated reason.
No, it's always a meritocracy under, you know, Secretary Hegseth. I thought in particular his forcing General George to retire in the midst of a ongoing war/excursion, as it's called by others in the administration,
excursion,
Iran.
Right.
It was pretty fascinating and shows you what's really important. What's really important is that he and Hegseth were at loggerheads for quite a bit of time over other disagreements. But it came to a head over the fact that evidently Hegseth had taken four people off the list of colonels to be promoted to one-star generals, two of them women, two of them African-Americans. Okay, and
yeah.
George challenged him that all of these people had glowing recommendations, should be promoted, and that he wasn't going to do it. He wouldn't take them off the list, so Hegseth had to do it. And he asked George to retire. Now, what's been notable about the situation in Iran? What was the unexpected thing that has kind of bogged us down in Iran? Besides the fact they'd close the Strait of Hormuz.
It's a long list.
Well, what's most notable? Think Ukraine. It's the fact that drones are probably the most important new factor on the battlefield.
Yeah.
It's making your, you know,
it's why Ukraine,
set piece war, huge tanks.
It's why Ukraine has been
obsolete in place.
It's why Ukraine has been able to stand up to Russia.
Exactly. Who knew the most, from what I can tell from the reports, about updating our forces to deal with the reality of drones? General George. So in the middle of a war in which this is already a problem, Hegseth is so, you know, incapable of seeing the bigger picture and what he's supposed to be doing there. Instead, he settles a score with General George.
Yeah, who wouldn't...
Who wouldn't do what he wanted about four promotions that weren't merit-based because they couldn't possibly be because they involve women and minorities.
Yeah. So let's move on to immigration and the so-called immigrant crime wave. And actually, I want to play a clip for you, Charles. This is Stephen Miller on Fox News back in May of last year.
Under President Trump's leadership, we are looking to set a goal of a minimum of 3,000 arrests for ICE every day. And President Trump is going to keep pushing to get that number up higher each and every single day so we can get all of the Biden illegals that were flooded into our country for 4 years out of our country. And we can't take the risk of letting these Biden illegals roam around freely so that the next American daughter can get raped, the next American kid can get murdered, the next American family can get splintered and torn apart by people that came into this country unchecked, uncontrolled, unvetted, uninvited by the American people.
The listeners are lucky. They only had to listen to him. We had to watch this.
Yeah, he's a madman. I mean, that's all crazy talk. It is crazy talk.
Well, there hasn't been a crime by an undocumented immigrant that they haven't tried to make use of. And, you know, for example, if you remember in the 2020 campaign, who, you know, what was the big issue? Molly Tibbetts, right. You know, who was the college student in Iowa was killed by, convicted of killing. By an undocumented
from Honduras,
he was working on a farm, and he actually gotten through the e-check, you know, with the federal government, mm-hmm. supposedly, and yet he was undocumented. So, and if you remember during the they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs, the Springfield, Iowa,
Illinois,
Springfield, Ohio. There had been a death of a fifth or a sixth grader on a school bus that was run into by a undocumented immigrant coming home from work in the morning. Turned out, wasn't drunk, he fell asleep. It was an accident. Mm. And they kept showing this commercial, the Trump-Vance, you know, campaign kept showing this commercial about this, you know, including this child as a murdered child. The family actually came on I talked at the city council in Springfield, Ohio, saying the only thing they want is they want Trump and Vance to stop talking about the death of their child, that it was an accident, and it was just traumatizing them every time. And of course, the Trump-Vance campaign continued to show the commercial, and of course, they got death threats.
The family did.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So, you know, actually, one of the things that made me think about this is that Fox News, if you watch it enough, almost again,
which you shouldn't,
right?
But Charles does
pretty much almost every day. If there's any significant crime by somebody who has identified as an undocumented immigrant, they will tell you the story no matter where it is,
over and over again.
Yeah. And you know, of course, the statistics don't in any way show that immigrants themselves or undocumented immigrants commit crimes at a higher rate than native-born Americans. And, in fact, they tend to be less violent and commit less crime mm-hmm. than native-born Americans.
Well, I mean, let's look at some of the stats here's Steve Miller. We're going to get 3,000 people arrested every day, and that number is going to get higher.
Perspective on that. Biden and Obama actually deported in the same amount of time of Trump, way more people. But they were only averaging, I think Biden was averaging about 300 a day mm-hmm. of people who would be
arrested or deported.
Well, arrested and, well, they would be arrested for consideration of being deported.
Mm-hmm.
So 3,000 is an astronomically high number.
Yeah,
I remember Bongino came out and said that actually, you know, the guy who was running the operation for them up in
Greg Bovino.
Yeah, Bovino.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's Bongino. I think it's Bongino. But anyway, he said that we need to deport 100 million people.
Yeah.
A third of the population of the United States is, in his mind, here without documentation.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, it is Greg Bovino.
Okay,
Bovino. And, The way Miller presented that whole thing, it was just the only thing that was missing was like foam coming out of his mouth and fire out of his ears and smoke out of his I mean, just it was crazy talk, and it's also not going very well if his goal is 3,000 a day or more.
Well, that's why he's yelling at everybody.
Well, this is back in May of last year.
He's still yelling at everybody for the same reason, because it's still not close.
No, it's close to 1,000 arrests a day, which is still a lot.
That is a lot.
And still hideous.
And of course, it's the worst of the worst.
Well, it's not.
You know, a gardener and, you know, somebody who's working as a nurse's aide or the... And usually they're like parents of like somebody in the military. They just arrested somebody at a base down in Alabama.
A wedding.
Oh, they had just come from their wedding. And they arrested his new wife.
Who was born here, I think.
Yes.
Been here since a child.
That's correct. But she applied for DACA, and then she couldn't get DACA because they weren't doing any new DACA in 2020.
Right.
And, you know, so she had just started the process, and they arrested her and deported her. That's correct.
Yeah.
So I feel a lot safer from that.
Yeah. I mean, and then the whole thing is so wrong, but then you put it alongside of what's happened in response to the January 6th protesters.
Oh, yeah. okay.
Talk about real dangerous people.
Right. So, well, first of all, Yeah, one of the things I like was there's an article in the New York Times recently about the 12 people of the, I think it's like 1,600 who were pardoned on the first day of Trump's second administration. And, you know, they called it a crime spree. But, I mean, it's just as ludicrous to call 12 people a crime spree. But the point I do remember that the first one who was rearrested was within days of the pardon.
Yeah.
He evidently pulled a gun on a deputy at a traffic stop, and the deputy killed him. A guy by the name of Matthew Huddle.
He was shot.
He was shot, yeah. This was like on literally days after the pardon. You know, then there have been, you know, a couple of people who've been arrested for molesting children, you know, vandalism. You know, Enrique Tarrio, you know, who's the Proud Boys leader, he was pardoned. You know, and he actually had been tried and convicted and was given a 20-year prison sentence for sedition. He was pardoned. But, you know, the point being that playing the anecdote game, which is all they do, is if you see the same commercial over and over, I guess you think it's different people they're talking about.
Well,
they're talking about the same people over and over. You know, I mean, it was kind of like that Madison Square rally before the election, where they just should have come out and yelled, immigrant, 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 because that's all that thing was about, right? Everything that's a problem in this country is because of the immigrants. You know, they've taken your jobs and they've driven up costs.
And they murder your daughter.
And exactly. Murder and rape your daughter. I mean, it's just, it is so disgusting. And it says so. Really, so, it's a dark time that we live with people who are gulled by this.
Yeah. Well, again, it's human nature is to believe what you hear, especially if you hear it over and over again. And there are people on the political left who are susceptible to the same phenomenon, not on the same issues. But in this case, you know, I think it'd be really, it's really helpful, I think, to challenge people who have supported President Trump to look at the contrast between their failed immigration agenda. I mean, it's horrible, but it's still failed by their standards that they've set for themselves. Versus how the January 6th, we have clear video footage of windows being broken, police officers being assaulted. Obvious crimes. And these were the people who were en masse, pardoned by President Trump on day one, and yet. Of all the arrests we're seeing among illegal immigrants, what, 70% have no criminal record? And even the 30% who do have criminal records?
A lot of it is minor.
They're not violent.
A lot of it is nonviolent. Right. I mean, they've arrested people because of parking tickets they didn't pay like 10 years ago.
Right. Or the Irish.
Well, what they'll tell you, Homan will say, they're all criminals. Because being here undocumented is a crime. It's not a criminal matter. It's a civil matter that they don't have documentation.
And often they're coming from situations in which their lives are threatened.
How they got protected status. Yeah, now they don't, right? Because we just arbitrarily say, you know what? No more protected status.
Yeah.
And then what adds on to this is that there are January 6th people who are now suing the federal government.
Or economic losses.
They're doing exactly what their leader does, right? Because Trump is suing, you know, the IRS because a contractor passed on his income tax forms, which was obviously clearly illegal, right? But, you know, he's suing them. I can't remember how much. It's tens of millions or something he's going to give to charity, by the way.
Right, to the Trump Foundation.
Charity. So he's suing because of the emotional distress and other things and his loss of reputation because those tax forms came out.
He doesn't need any additional help.
The guy got elected president twice. I don't see how his reputation was hurt by this, but nevertheless, this is just there's J6 people who are suing for damages. They paid Ashley Babbitt's family, the woman
who's they?
The DOJ.
Okay.
Came to a settlement with Ashley Babbitt.
She was the one who was killed.
She was climbing in the door.
And she was shot by a Capitol Police officer.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So they had brought a wrongful death suit. They got paid off. It's just crazy time.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that part of what they're doing is to make things as horrible as possible. Because, yes, you can say their immigration policy isn't working. Yes, it is. Because people are not coming to the southern border anymore.
Right.
Because they don't want to be involved in this. They don't want to be sitting in Dilley detention center or down in Alligator Alcatraz.
And that to me means, it doesn't mean that this particular approach to immigration is working. It means that we've got a failed immigration system that has never fixed so many of the problems that people involved with immigration law and services know. We know these are problems. We know there are problems there. This is not the way to fix them. And fairly under Biden, under Obama, they weren't up to the tasks of fixing those problems either. You know, at least under Biden, there was an effort at a bipartisan bill that was moving, pretty quickly through the House and Senate last year. And then Trump said, or no, it was 2024. And then Trump said, "No, kill that bill. I don't want to see
it
passed.
Well,
because
I want to
campaign on this.
I want to continue.
How cynical is that?
Slam Biden / Harris for that. But it also fits the general sadism of the people involved in this administration. They enjoy this.